his actions caused him not to be able to go into the promised land. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee and will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord has said. And the Lord said, and the Lord shall do unto them as he did in Sihon and the Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you." Now what's happening here is Moses is realizing that he's getting old. And he's realizing, at 120, he's starting to back off. When y'all get 120, you can start to back off. Not until then. Scotty resigns from his deaconship about every 3 days. When you get 120, Scotty, you can step down. Not until then. So as Moses has reached 120, he says, "Look, I'm not able to do this anymore. I'm gonna have to back up. And besides, I'm not going into the promised land anyway." But he begins automatically to instruct the next one. He begins to say, "But I want you to remember what God did. I want you to remember how God provided. And I want you to know that God's going to continue to provide." Verse number 5 and verse number 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." I like the way that Moses makes a point to say, look, fear not, don't be afraid. Be of good courage. For the Lord thy God is going with you. In other words, he's saying, look, I may not be able to go. I'm 120 years old and I'm not going to go anyway, so I'm no longer going to be able to go, but God's going with you. You know what? Sometimes we put too much confidence in man. We put too much confidence in somebody that we can physically see and we can physically touch instead of putting our faith and trust in God. And Moses is saying here, look, don't just count on me. Don't be of good courage because of me. You be of good courage because it is God that's going before you. And church, I'll go ahead and say it tonight. I want to live the life in front of my children and my friends and my church family that people say, you know what, you can count on Josh. He's going to be there. He's going to stand strong. I want to live that life, but don't put your faith in me. Don't put your trust in me. Don't put all of your eyes upon me, because when I fall, then you're going to lose confidence. And you can lose confidence in me, but don't you ever lose confidence in God. I may let you down, but God will never, ever let you down. Verse number 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel." He's getting ready to pass the torch here to Joshua. So he calls everybody together, and right in front of him he says, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto the fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Joshua chapter number 1. Moses, that was Moses talking to the children of Israel. He was telling them, don't you be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Trust in the Lord. Be of good courage, for God's going with you. Verse number 1. Now that Moses, verse number 1 says, now after the death of Moses. So Moses is now gone. That leader that has stood so strong for him, that led them in some pretty trying times, in some times when they didn't know what was going to happen. Now he's gone. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. Now back in Deuteronomy, we're seeing what Moses was saying to the children of Israel. Now we're going to see what God says to Joshua. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children Israel." You want to notice something? That God's promise didn't change just because leadership changed. God's promise to the children of Israel didn't change because Moses was dead and now Joshua was leading. That God still was going to stay true to his word no matter what. Verse number 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even unto the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." He said, wherever you go, it's yours. God didn't put a lot of limits on this, did he? He opened it wide open and said, wherever you walk, that's going to be your land. That's the promised land. Verse number 4, "From the wilderness and this Lebanon, and even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life? He says there's no enemy, there's no obstacle, there's nothing that can get in your way that you're not going to be victorious over, that you cannot overcome. He says there's no man that is going to be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. And this is what God is promising unto Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe and do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, you stand true. You stay right with what I've given you and what I've told you. Man, I tell you what, that's something that we as Christians and we as a church corporately need to be sure that we always do, is that we walk right where God said to walk. We don't turn to the right, to the left. We don't get so far out in right field that we think that we're holier than everybody else. And we don't get so far out in left field that we think that we're so liberal and we can do everything else. That we stay right where God told us to be, right in the center of God's will, rightly dividing the word of God. He says, you do that and I'll prosper you whithersoever thou goest. Verse number 8. This book of the law shalt not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success. Verse number 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. For a couple of minutes tonight, I want us to look at something that was said by Moses to the children of Israel, and then from God to Joshua. In both verses of Scripture, they say, be courageous. Don't be afraid. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You know, as I begin to think about this Scripture today and begin to think where God wanted us to go with it, there's a common theme in both of these places, and it's to fear not, neither be dismayed. And as I looked into my concordance this afternoon, and as I looked at it, fear is in 385 verses in the Bible. Fear is something that is definitely an emotion that probably we all have experienced at some time or the other. It is something that if you think it that you're not afraid of something, then just beware, because there's something out there that makes us all a little bit hesitant. I wish that if I could have found one this time of year, I could have showed you some real fear and had Lynn bring a snake to church with him tonight. Scotty would have left the place. I can tell you that right now. I would have too. If it took handling snakes to go to heaven, I wouldn't make it. I'm going to tell you right now. But we all have some kind of fear inside of us, but that's not necessarily what we're discussing tonight. Because not only does it say to fear not, it says to be courageous, but it also says neither be dismayed or broken. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Dismayed is mentioned in 29 different verses in the Bible. Fear is mentioned in 385 verses of the Bible. And then in 144 verses of the Bible says, fear not. God does not want us to be in fear. God does not want us walking around and being afraid to claim, and I know we sort of led into the Scripture a little bit on Sunday morning, He does not want us to be short of what He has promised us. Here, the children of Israel, the Bible tells us that as Moses was dying, that He told them, as you go into the promised land, that nobody that comes against you is going to be able to stand, that no enemy is going to be victorious over you, that wherever your foot tread, and this is actually what God told Joshua, that wherever the sole of your feet touches, that you are going to be victorious, that is going to be your land, that I have given it to you. As I was studying that this afternoon, there was over 300,000 square miles mentioned here in these scriptures in between these areas that God told Joshua about. Over 300,000 square miles that God said, this is your land. And as you go back, and whoever this guy was that was studying, it was actually J. Vernon McGee in some of his commentary, he shows that only 30,000 square miles of that was ever inhabited by the children of Israel. They only took place in 10% of what God had given them. You know what? I'm afraid a lot of times that we as Christians, we live in about 10% of the blessings that God really wants us to have. We live in about 10% of the victory that God really wants us to have. We live in just a small part, a small portion of the life that God wants to give us. So many times here do you see that people preach on the promised land as heaven. But I believe that the promised land is something that here, if you draw a parallel to it correctly, that it is a place that God wants us to dwell in a relationship with Him while we're here on this earth. I believe that God has something special for every single one of us. And no, it may not be a rose garden that's just always beautiful, and it may not be just something, but I want to tell you something. You get where God wants you to be. You get right in the center of your promised land that God wants you to inhabit, that God wants you to be victorious in. No matter what comes your way, the enemy's not strong enough, they're not big enough, they're not tough enough to take you down. That wherever your foot, your soul touches will be promised unto you. Fear not, neither be dismayed, neither be broken, but be courageous. Don't be afraid to lay hold on what God has given you. There may be obstacles that come in your way. You know what? Life's tough sometimes. Life is hard. Just today, I mean, it was a really stressful day for some reason. And if I was not careful, I could have been in a place where I let things get to me bad enough that my mind was not even focused on what God has for me. When things get stressed, you know, today the phone was ringing, boom, boom, boom. There was 1,000 things on my desk that I needed to do. Silas called Autumn from school. He's sick, something like that. He went to the doctor. Anyway, we'll put it like that. So she went to Hillsville to get him, and she calls me. She says, "Hey, you want some bad news?" "Yeah, honey, thank you. I appreciate that. That's exactly what I want. When I answer the phone, that's what I want to hear." I really want to pick it up, and I want to hear Autumn say, "Hey, baby, you having a good day?" But I pick it up, and she says, "Hey, you want some bad news?" "Yeah, that's what I was sitting there waiting on." She said, "Tyson's got to be a doctor at 12. It's 11:15, and I'm sitting on the side of the road with a flat tire." Phone dinging, bing, 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 and I mean, I'm about to pull my hair out. Hey, the Lord bless. I went up there and put a plug in the blame thing and pumped it up, went back to work. I mean, it worked out just fine. But I was on that edge. But you know what? God has promised me that there is nothing that comes my way day in or day out to where I should either be broken, to where my spirit should be broken, or to whether fear should come into my life. Because He says, "I've got this. I've got you, and I've got this. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Be courageous, for I'm with you." Just trust in God and be ready for God to deliver you. Hey, you want to know something? These children of Israel that got this commandment right here that Moses was telling, and then as God was giving Joshua instruction, these people had seen the Red Sea parted. They had seen bread fall from heaven. They had seen water come from a rock. They had seen miracle after miracle. And even before they left Egypt, they seen all of the plagues that God sent to convince Pharaoh. They had seen God work time in and time out. They'd seen God just be amazing in their life. And then all of a sudden, they get to the promised land, and one time before already, they had already got there and turned and went away because they said, "We can't do it." Only Joshua and Caleb said, "Yeah, we can go possess that land." Everybody else said, "No, the giants are too big. The obstacles are too many. We can't go." They was there on the edge of what God really wanted them to have and turned and went away from it. But now here they are, and God is telling Joshua, "You go. There's no enemy too big. There's no obstacle too big. You go. Fear not. Be not dismayed." But obviously, there was still something there. Obviously, there was still a fear there because they never did take completely control of what God meant for them to have. Are you really living where God wants you to live? I'm not. I'm not living, and when I say that, I'm not talking about trying to be in the will of God and walk right and not sin, but I'm talking about when I fully trust God and I fully commit myself to God, and this is the other thing that we have to do that we don't like is we have to fully surrender to God. That's tough. Surrendering is tough. You know, that's a sign of weakness when you surrender. When you got a battle going on, and I mean, here comes an army, and they're about to overtake you for that general, for that commander to wave a white flag and say, "We surrender. There's nothing that we can do. We give up." That's a sign of weakness. That's a sign of being beat. But I want to tell you something tonight, that when we finally get to the place to where we say, "God, I surrender. I'm tired of trying to do things my way. I'm surrendering my life to you. I'm going to admit that I'm weak, that I'm not strong, that without you I can do I cannot do anything. And God, I'm going to trust you with my life. I promise you, you'll walk into the promised land where God wants you to be. You'll finally be able to start taking control of what God wants us to have. These people had seen God do all these amazing things, but yet they had doubt, yet they had fear, yet they were broken, they didn't trust. But how many times has God come through in your life? How many times have you seen God work and things happen and you go, I really didn't expect that to happen. That must be coincidence. That must be luck. And we know there's no such thing as either one of those, especially for a child of God. And you sit and go, wait a minute, God done something amazing. Just the other day, there was somebody telling me, I don't even know who it was, so I couldn't tell you if I wanted to, but they were saying that this happened, and nobody could explain how it happened. I can explain how it happened. I know who I serve, and I know he's in control. I can explain to you how it happened. If you don't know, I'll tell you. But we've seen God work time again, time in and time out, time again and again and again, and yet then when things come our way, we go, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? What am I going to do? Just like last night when somebody walked up to me and said, does that scare you? Yeah, that kind of money scares me, but it don't scare God. And I'm not preaching for the gym or for not the gym. I think we got some praying to do. We need to seek God and then make sure that we're in His will. But I'm talking about anything that comes in your life. Anything that comes and you say, well, that looks scary. That puts fear into me. That puts brokenness into me. I want you to know that it shouldn't, because that's not where God wants us to live. God don't want us to live in that. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to count on Shannon for this. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. You know, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit the last two Sundays just a little bit. I tell you what, you let the spirit of fear fill you, and the Spirit of the Lord is not going to fill you. I can tell you that. But when you empty out and say, okay, God, I trust you. I'm not going to be afraid. Whatever happens today, I'm going to let you be in control. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to quit doing things on my own. And you know what's the cool thing about that? Is when you do that today and you succeed and you say, God, I surrender today. I let you work. I trusted you. You worked in my life today. When you get up in the morning, you better surrender all over again. Because it is so tough to deny ourselves. It's so tough to not try to pick up and do things on our own. But he says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. Don't be afraid. Now look, all my life, I've told y'all, I was a scaredy cat. I love to hunt, but I really don't care that much about being in the woods in the dark. It's not just one of my most favorite things. I'm not scared of the dark, but it's not one of my most favorite things to do, is to go sit in the woods in the dark. There's so much unknown out there. I mean, there's woolly boogers out there that, I don't know about all that. And even when I was little, my brother had me thinking that Jaws lived in our toilet. I don't know why, but I was terrified that I was going to be abducted by aliens in the UFO one night. I don't know. That's just the way I was. Yeah, y'all have a weirdo for a pastor. It's okay. It's got to be something special about me. And there was times of fear. And you know what? In those times of fear, then I couldn't, and I'm just talking about being a kid, I couldn't be in the happy place that I was supposed to be as a kid. I can remember one night, maybe we'd watched Unsolved Mysteries, maybe we watched something, I don't remember, but I was scared. And my brother and I slept in the same bed at that time. And I was a little bitty fella, and I remember getting up at night, and I had been squalling probably for 30 minutes or so and tormenting my mom and dad, bless their hearts, my brother, tormenting them. I just didn't want to go to sleep. I was scared if I went to sleep, the aliens was going to abduct me that night. And I remember, my mom has been a real spiritual person all my life. She is one of those people that has always got the right answer. And, I mean, she's just a real spiritual lady. And I remember that night I got up and I was screaming and squalling and I was walking through the house. Now, it's bad that I remember that. That means I was old enough that I shouldn't have been acting this way. But I remember I decided I was going to go to the bathroom, blow my nose, and just keep everybody awake pretty much is what I wanted to do, as long as I didn't have to lay in my bed. And I remember going through the house and my mom being the spiritual lady that she is and her wanting to let me know that God's always looking out for me, that God's always got me in his hands, and that God always knows how I act. She hollers from her room, the house pitch black. I'm already terrified, and my mother says, Joshua, somebody's watching you. Oh, Lord, I just knew there was somebody sitting outside looking in the window watching me. I took off running. My brother said he didn't see nothing but my feet come over him as I jumped through the bed. So when we're at the place that, yeah, being real spiritual, sometimes you can hurt somebody too. But sometimes when we get to that place and where fear comes in, then we're not living where God wants us to live. We're not being with the strength that God wants us to have. He says, I didn't give you that spirit of fear. He said, but I give you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit that God's given us. Also in Luke chapter number 12, verse number 32, one of my favorite scriptures. I want you to look at this verse of scripture. Fear not, little flock. Jesus is talking to us and he says, look, don't be afraid. It's going to be okay. You know, I guess because I was such a scaredy cat when I was little, that the times that my daughters, I don't know that I can remember my son ever being like really scared like that. But there's been times when my daughters were afraid at night. And I guess because I was such a scaredy cat that I kind of relate to that. And instead of being upset with them or anything else, I'll usually go in there and crawl in the bed with them and pull them up real close to me and say, honey, it's all right. I'm here. And you know what's crazy? Is if there really was aliens to abduct them, there's nothing that I could do about it. If there really is a mean person that's going to come into our house and do harm, I mean, I'm going to do everything I can, but there's a possibility that I can be overtaken and that they could still hurt my kids. But I go in there and I pull them up real close to me and I say, honey, I love you. I'm right here for you. You know that I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that nothing happens to you. Just go to sleep. And I'll hold them until they go to sleep. Most of the time I end up asleep too, right there with them. And the thing of it is, though, is that God's pulling us up real close when we're afraid and when life has got us tore up and when we're broken. And God's saying, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. I've got you. And you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. I know there's people that has been hurt by mean people who were the people that got hurt, they were saved. Don't you think God still got them? Absolutely. He still got them. When God says, I've got you, you don't have to be afraid that I'm going to be there for you. There is nothing in this world or out of this world that can overcome him. And he's saying, fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Man, we get tore up about everything, don't we? I don't even want to talk about this tonight, but it just seems, but I got a vehicle that's giving me a little trouble right now, and I hate cars. I absolutely hate cars. I wish we'd go back to horses and buggies, because at least you can go out there and shoot your horse and go get you another one. You can't even do that with a car, but I got a car that's giving me a little trouble right now. And yeah, I can go put a bullet in it, I guess. But if I ain't careful, it'll get on my mind, and I'll get mad about it, and I don't know what to do for it, and all that kind of bull. But I go out there and I look and say, you know what? This is the way this hit me the other day. And I ain't trying to point nobody out, and just forgive me if I embarrass you. But I was sitting here and I was thinking about the guy supposed to be calling me to tell me what's going on with my car. I don't have a clue. So I'm waiting for this phone call, and it's been 3 days and I hadn't got this phone call, and I was getting a little bit aggravated about it, and I'm getting a little bit anxious about it, and I'm getting a little bit tore up about it. And then I was talking to Jason last night, and he said, I've been waiting for a call all day to find out how my dad was. All of a sudden, my car problem just went way down. You know what? We get all tore up and upset. And you know the cool thing about that is either way, God's got it, Jason. And I know that's easy for me to say because I'm not going through what you're going through. But he don't want you to be afraid. He don't want you to be dismayed. He wants you to say, God, you got this. I'm trusting you. For the situations in my family, he wants me to say, I got this. You know what? If the blame car burns up and it ain't nothing left to it, you know what? I'm still safe. My kids are still safe. Everything's still good. But we get so tore up over it. And I'll use my car because that's a little bitty thing that is some kind of possession here on this earth that don't mean anything. There is so much more. If you want to get tore up about something, get tore up about your loved ones that don't know Jesus Christ. If you want to get tore up about something, get tore up about these people that are out here and they don't even know that they need Jesus Christ. Get tore up about that. If we would get as tore up about those things as we do the little junk going on in our lives that don't mean anything, we would probably make a lot more difference than what we're making. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." God don't want you to be without. How many of you in your lifetime that have kids, how many have said at one time or another, "I just want my kids to have it better than I did"? I've said that, and I've spoiled my kids rotten, and I'm going, "Oh, no, what in the world have I done?" I told my son just the other day, I'll finish up just a minute, I'm getting a little long. But I told my son just the other night, it was Wednesday, I think it was, when we was out of church for snow, and my son wanted to ride my four-wheeler, and I said, "Yeah, go ahead." And I went out there and cranked it for him, and I said, "Now look, if it acts like it runs out of gas, flip it over on reserve, drive it home. You got plenty to get you home." Well, here in about an hour, here he comes with his buddy pulling him with a strap, pulls him up in the yard. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Four-wheeler just quit. It's tore up." I said, "It is." I'm glad he heard that. I said, "It is." And he said, "Yeah." I said, "What's wrong with it?" "Won't run. Won't crank. It's tore up. I don't know." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, look." And he flipped it over and he started trying to crank it, letting it just turn over and over. I reached down there and I flipped it on reserve and boom, cranked right up and rode it for another 20 minutes. I was like, "Son, don't you listen to anything?" And I realized right then that I have completely overspoiled my son. Lord help him. He's almost 15 years old. I've got to back off. And I said all that to say this. God has spoiled us so much that we don't even realize what he does for us day in and day out. Fear not, little flock. Don't be dismayed. Be of good courage. God's got it. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for all that you do. God, I pray that you'll just help us just to trust you, to not be afraid, God. Don't be dismayed. Let us live to the fullness of what you have for us, God. Let us know, God, that life's not always going to be perfect, but no matter the obstacles or no matter the opposition that comes our way, that, God, you got us in your hand. God, I do pray a special prayer for all the prayer requests that's been made known tonight. God, help us not to get so focused on material things or things going on in our lives, God, but help us to realize that there are people who need Jesus Christ, and that's where our concern should be. God, thank you for what you're doing in fellowship. Lead us, guide us, help us to always know the decisions that we should make. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.